I want to welcome you all to our first Fall National Speakers Conference call. My name is Jan Mathers. I am a Stonecroft Speaker Consultant in Bend, Oregon, and I'm just excited to have you all on the call tonight. We have women and men who have called in from pretty much all around the country. We have a large representation. I'm so excited about the topic we have for you tonight that's going to be presented to us by Linda Moore, who is also a speaker consultant in Florida. Linda is a graduate of the University of Florida, and she lives in Gainesville. She worked at the University of Florida Medical Center and started the Department of Social Services there, which helps provide assistance and financial services to long-term and disabled patients. Although Linda was raised attending church, it wasn't until she was married that she understood that she could have a personal relationship with God. She became a stay-at-home mom and was invited to her first Stonecroft outreach meeting over 30 years ago. She loved how the speaker shared how she came to know Christ, and she wanted to be a part of this amazing ministry. She has served in almost every volunteer position. As I said, Linda is a speaker consultant, and she also helps hurting groups in the South develop ways to grow and reach the next generation. And I have to say, she does this very successfully. If you ever need inspiring encouragement, all you need to do is call Linda. She just has all kinds of ideas and wonderful stories of how they're working there in her area. She's married to her college sweetheart, who is a civil engineer and head of an engineering and construction company. You may be able to discern from her accent that she is Southern-born and bred, and that's for sure. I love to listen to Linda talk. Today she's going to share with us how we can expand our ministry, how we can be prepared for outreach meetings that lose all control of time, and you're just going to really benefit from what Linda has to share with us tonight. So I'm going to turn it over to Linda right now. I will again remind you that you're on mute, but I will unmute you when we have opportunities to ask questions and share. So Linda, welcome. We look forward to what you have to talk to us about tonight.
Thank you, Jan, and thank every one of you for taking time out of your busy evenings to be with us tonight, and we really hope that this will be a beneficial time for all of us. At this time, we want to share with you some of the things that we've begun to encourage our Florida and Georgia and Alabama speakers to prepare, and we have found out that this preparation has truly expanded our ministry. But first of all, to put all of this in perspective, I want to share with you a little poem that I share at the end of my speaker workshops, and it's called If for Speakers. If you can wake at 5 a.m. and drive for many hours, arrive at an outreach meeting still looking pretty as a flower, if you can drive 200 miles finding places not on a map, look refreshed in 90-degree heat without a nap, if you can believe your bad hair day looks just like the latest style, competently apply makeup and jewelry while driving many miles, if you can park your car half a mile from the outreach meeting, arrive in heels composed without a lot of heavy breathing, if you can eat just one more luncheon dish of chicken cordon bleu while silently wishing just this once it was tenderloin stew, if you can act composed although the luncheon time is eroding, your speaking time cut in half and your heart exploding, if you can keep your head while all about you are losing theirs, smile with calm composure while the chair pulls out her hair, if you can do all this and more without quaking, without shaking, then, honey, we need the name of the medication you are taking. And the reason I wanted to share that bit of humor with you is so that you know that we know just how crazy it is out there. And we want you to be prepared as possible for every situation. Some of you may remember a few years ago, Stonecroft was truly encouraging all of its volunteers to compile a 3 to 5 minute testimony so that if the speaker did not show up, a few of them could share, and also so that every volunteer would be comfortable sharing one-on-one. In our region, we set up workshops so that every outreach group had the opportunity to learn how to share their faith in 3 to 5 minutes. Well, a couple of years back, one of our most loved speakers had a dilemma on her hands. The outreach meeting was dragging on and on. The meeting was supposed to end in just a few minutes, and the group still had not introduced her, the speaker. Here in Florida, we tell our speakers to make sure the meeting ends on time. And if your speaker's time is cut, to work out how to cut time out of your talk. We strongly suggest this because the first-time guest may have scheduled an appointment right after the expected end of the meeting, and she may have to leave and thus miss the gospel. Now, I know our chairs usually tell our speakers, now take all the time you need, our ladies will understand, but that new person may have to leave and miss out on the opportunity to hear the gospel. Well, this precious speaker did not know what to do, and when we discussed the situation, I suggested that she have 3 talks prepared, her 20 to 25-minute talk, a 10-minute talk, and a 3 to 5-minute prepared talk. In this way, she would be ready for every situation. If the meeting was going way over, in the meeting with the 3 to 5-minute. If the meeting was just, if her talking time was just cut in half, then do the 10-minute. Later, as I discussed this with my speaker trainers, we realized that this was good advice for all of our speakers. As we started to share with our speakers the idea of having 3 different prepared talks, we began to talk up the idea. Little did we know how much these 3 talks would expand each of our personal ministries. Now, normally your talk is from 20 to 25 minutes. Now, if you're doing an interactive or a talk that includes a special feature, your approved talk will be longer, but just for tonight, we're talking about the 20 to 25-minute talk. Also, there has been a little confusion regarding the time limit included in the 20 to 25 minutes. The 20 to 25 minutes begins the moment you step to the podium and ends as you walk away. The 20 to 25 minutes includes your prayer of salvation, information regarding the comment card, and comments about meeting the ladies at the door. Your 10-minute talk can simply be a condensed version of your 20 to 25-minute talk, or it can be a different talk altogether. As I began to contemplate my 10-minute talk, I felt compelled to make my 10-minute talk different from my 20 to 25-minute talk. If your 10-minute talk is different, then you might want to make sure you run it by your speaker trainer just to make sure all the information that you need is in your talk. I ran my 10-minute talk by several of my speaker trainers, and they did give me some suggestions. Well, my 10-minute talk is called The Recipe for Life, and I start out talking about recipes, and I found that this talk is a great sharing tool, and I will explain more about that in a moment. One of our former speaker trainers here in Florida that had to move away from us used to share her 10-minute talk at our speaker workshops just to show how effective a 10-minute presentation could be. But she went the extra mile, and this really opened up the ministry for her. She took her 10-minute talk to an office supply store and had it copied and put in a small spiral-bound book. Now, when she's at the door and a lady comes out and says, "Oh, I wish so-and-so had been here today, your talk would have touched her," this former speaker trainer hands that lady the spiral-bound little book and tells it to give it to her friend. I was in a restaurant one time with this speaker trainer, and she noticed that our waitress was not married and pregnant. She felt such compassion for this lady, and she went out to the car, got a copy of her 10-minute testimony, and we left the waitress a huge tip with a little book, and the speaker trainer told the waitress that she had left her a copy of her story and hoped that she would read it. This ties into another way to use a printed version of your 10-minute talk. I was with another speaker trainer at another restaurant. I guess I like to eat out with my speaker trainers. And when the waitress came to take our drink orders, this speaker trainer said, "We're going to be praying in a moment over our food, and we would love to pray for you. Do you have any need you'd like us to pray about?" Well, this waitress was just so excited because she was a Christian, but she did share with us a prayer request. But at that point, I thought, if she were not a Christian, this would be a perfect place to give out a copy of One's 10-Minute Talk. Another great place to use your 10-Minute Talk is a gathering, like a Christmas gathering. Now, I know some of you may not be familiar with our gatherings, but these are small group, fun opportunities to share the gospel in a non-threatening way. I was doing a speaking circuit in Georgia when the lady who was my hostess at one town asked me if I'd be interested in sharing at a venue outside the outreach meetings. She volunteers at an assisted living place, and the social director at the assisted living place had given her permission to bring me in to share my story. Now, I knew my 20 to 25-minute talk would be way too long. It was going to be right after breakfast, and I didn't want them falling asleep on me. And since my 10-minute talk was called The Recipe for Life, we sat around and discussed favorite recipes. The dear ladies in the group had some really good recipes, and I wish I'd have taken notes. Then I shared my talk on The Recipe for Life and closed with the prayer of salvation. Several things came out of this encounter. First of all, I applaud the hostess who had the courage to ask me to do an extra event. In a way, she was doing a type of one of our gatherings. Secondly, it showed me why I was so compelled to write the talk called The Recipe for Life. I can use this talk at any type of gathering. It would be perfect at a Christmas gathering when the ladies bring their favorite Christmas cookies and to exchange along with printed copies of the recipes to share. It would be perfect at a spring gathering in which young moms bring their small children to a pretty park for an Easter egg hunt. While the members of the gathering team take the small children out to the play area, the moms could enjoy egg salad or deviled eggs and hear about the recipe for life and then be encouraged to join a Stonecroft Bible study. The possibilities are endless, and the 10-minute talk is perfect for such events. By the way, I've only had to use my 10-minute talk once in an outreach meeting and when there was a time problem. But once I wrote out my 10-minute talk, God has continued to show me other venues and ways to incorporate that talk in sharing the gospel with others. Now for the 3 to 5-minute talk. This is concise and to the point. This talk can be done at a meeting where the time is completely gone. However, we never want to close a meeting without sharing the gospel. Here is my 3 to 5-minute talk. I call it From My Heart to Yours. Does it seem as if there's something missing in your life? That something missing may not be a physical or emotional need. It just may be a spiritual need. There was a time I felt as if something were missing in my life. I tried to fill that emptiness with marriage and stuff, but even with a good husband and lots of stuff, the need was still there. I felt maybe the need was physical or maybe it was emotional. I didn't know. I just knew it was there and nothing seemed to fill it. I was newly married, but because of this emptiness, I needed a lot of attention, and yet the attention I received was never enough to fill that void for a very long time. I became demanding and wanted my own way all the time. It was hard on my husband, and deep down inside, I did not like myself. From an early age, I believed that what I thought the Bible said about God and Jesus Christ, his son. I believed that Jesus came to earth as a baby and died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Even though I believed these facts about God and Jesus, I came to understand that believing these things as truth was not enough. One day I learned that there was a relationship with God that went beyond believing about the theories about him as true. I discovered that sin is not just big things like murder and grand theft. According to the Bible, sin also includes selfishness, gossip, unforgiveness. And I was guilty of all of these things. And because of this sin, I was separated from God and could not, on my merit, have a personal relationship with God. Then I learned that God loved me so much he made a way for me to have a personal relationship with him, not based upon what I did, but based upon what his son did. Jesus came to this world to show us the love, goodness, and power of God. Then he chose to die on the cross to pay for our sin, and God raised him from the dead to show he has power over sin and death. Now Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God, waiting for each of us to personally invite him to come into our hearts and lives, to forgive us of our sin, and to begin an unending relationship with God. I realized that although I had believed in God, I had never trusted him in a personal way. So I prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and life and accepted what Jesus did on the cross for me personally, and I asked for his forgiveness. Later, I realized that emptiness was gone. The more I learned about God through his Bible, the more I trusted him, the better my life became, and the better I was at handling the problems and circumstances that continued to come into my life. I have come to the conclusion that I do not want to live this life without God. His peace and wisdom are tangible, and his tangible help are wonderful in helping me deal with the issues and overwhelming circumstances of everyday life. If you want to begin a relationship with God that will last for all eternity, all you have to do is pray and ask him to come into your heart and life and forgive your sins. I invite you to pray the following prayer from your heart. God will hear and he will honor your prayer. And then I give the prayer of salvation. Once we started encouraging our ladies to write out their 3 to 5 minute talks, we again saw God use these talks to expand our ability to share his love with others. You can share this short talk one-on-one with the people God brings into your life. Jesus changed the life of a woman at the well with just a few well-chosen words, and we can change the lives of those around us with a few well-chosen words. People are hurting and in need of a Savior, and if 120 people could change the course of the world by moving out of Jerusalem and into all parts of the world sharing God's love, we can change lives also, if we will ask God to show us people through his eyes of compassion. One of my speaker trainers showed me how a lady in Lakeland took her very short 3 to 5 minute talk and had it printed up, and she hands that out, her short talk out, to the people that she comes in contact with. And this gave us another great idea. Some of us now have our short talk printed on a single page. It may take more than one side, it may be two-sided, and then we fold it in fours and we put it in front of a booklet. You can purchase the booklet, a gift for you, from Stonecroft Ministries. Put your short story in the front of it, the booklet. I purchased the booklet called The Gospel of John, which you can get from the Pocket Testament League. They'll send you any amount of The Gospel of John you request for a donation. One Sunday after church, we were eating at a restaurant, and the waitress asked me why I was dressed so nice, and she said, "Oh, you must have just come from church. People who attend church always look so nice on Sundays." As we left, we thanked her for her fine service. We left her a big tip, and I told her my story was in the front of the booklet I left with the tip, and I hoped she would read it. You can be sitting beside someone and suddenly realize that God has given you a divine appointment. If you have compiled your 3 to 5 minute story, you can feel comfortable sharing the love of God in just a few moments. Or you can listen to her story and tell her you found out about a God who loves you very much and helps you live your life. Then you can give her your story and hope that she reads it. I came to realize that there's sometimes when I'm sharing one-on-one that my first job is to listen and earn the right to be heard before I present to her my Savior. If the timing's not right, I simply listen to her and then give her my short story with the booklet. If you send out Christmas cards, you can always tuck your short talk into the cards you send to those who do not know your Savior. You know, as I started looking into compiling these three talks, I was reminded of an illustration someone gave me once. It said, if you had a terminal illness and was suddenly cured of that illness, wouldn't you want to share that cure with everyone who has the illness? We have been cured of our sin and given the Savior as a cure. We need to be open to allowing God to use us in any ways he sees fit to get his plan of salvation across. A little girl was walking along the beach one day with her daddy after a storm and saw many starfish that had been thrown into the shore too far for the starfish to get back into the water. She started taking the starfish and putting them back in the water one by one. Her father told her she would not be able to save all the starfish, and she replied, "No, but I can save this one. God does not expect you and me to save the whole world, but he does want us to see people through his eyes and bring the offer of redemption to those he puts into our path. With these three talks, we can be prepared and see how many more ways our ministry will expand. And I can tell you, it will expand in so many more ways than we have shared here. We've just begun to scratch the surface of what God wants to do through the willing hearts of his children." In Zechariah chapter 3, there is a man, a priest named Joshua, standing before the angel of the Lord in tattered, filthy rags, and Satan is accusing him. The Lord tells his angels to remove the filthy clothes and put beautiful clothes onto Joshua and place a costly turban on his head, because he is, and I quote, "as a smoldering stick snatched from the fire." In other words, God was sharing this Old Testament prophecy that he wanted to take our filthy rags and replace them with his righteousness, because through Jesus we are all smoldering sticks snatched from the fire. If we remember that and look for other smoldering sticks and help snatch them from the fire, we can change our nation one person at a time. Our God is in the heart-changing business, and he has given us the opportunity to share his work by snatching smoldering sticks from the fire. So I just wanted to share all of that with you, because we are real excited here in Florida how God has used these three simple things to expand our ministry here and help us not just think of an outreach meeting, but think of our daily encounters with people and how God can use us to bring salvation to those who do not attend an outreach meeting. So now we want to hear your questions or your feedback, or how you might have already incorporated these ideas, and what you might have figured out that we haven't yet begun to figure out. So I want to turn this back over to Jan.
Okay, thank you so much, Linda. You had tons of exciting suggestions. I'm going to unmute us all now. If you do have background noise going on or you need to mute yourself, you can just individually press #6 to mute yourself, and then #6 to unmute you if you have something to say. But right now I'm going to unmute everyone. And so we should all be unmuted now. So does anyone have any questions to ask Linda? Do you have questions to ask Linda, comments to make, suggestions that you have used?
I have a comment to make. And I so agree with what she just said, because I've been involved for years, and I remember years ago a woman getting up and leaving as the speaker got up, because the time had gone away and she did need to get back to work. And my heart just broke. And so I love hearing these shorter talks and that opportunity to still share the gospel before the close of the luncheon. Thank you.
Jan, I have a question.
Hmm?
I'm a new speaker for Stonecroft, and this really is enlightening. But do we have to have any of this changed, the changes or anything okayed by Stonecroft? Even if it's, I mean, if it's, as long as it's in the original composition of our speech, I understood it was okay. But as we compress it, do we have to have them check it out?
Go ahead, Linda.
What we have asked is if it's just your original talk compressed,
uh-huh.
No. But if you're like me and you decided that your three talks would be all different, then yes, you do want to run them by a speaker trainer. I ran all three of mine past several of my speaker trainers, and they all gave me some suggestions. And one of my speaker trainers, I was with her, and she shared with me her 3 to 5 minute, and I said, "Oh, look at here and here and here," and I made suggestions to her. So Again, you'll probably have some suggestions.
All right. Thank you.
The objective ear or eye is just absolutely invaluable, you know, in any kind of change we're making, mostly because we want to be so careful that it's not the gospel that's getting condensed or shortchanged. So it's just so helpful to get an objective opinion.
Okay, thank you.
Linda, this is Betty Ann McGurvin from Idaho. I would just like to know if you have the poem in print that you gave right at front. It's a great poem to read to some of the speakers that I'm trying to train.
Okay, I will get this to Emily, and Emily can get it on the website, right, Emily?
Oh, that would be wonderful. Thank you so much, Linda. You were awesome. I love the 3 to 5. I love the 10. I think that is just a real, I can see our group doing that. And that's really exciting. And also that you could print them in some way that we can lead my story in a different way.
Thank you. All of the things that happened in the poem have happened to me personally. That's why the poem was so easy to write.
All right, you're the author of the poem, Linda?
Yes, I wrote the poem.
That was excellent. That was excellent.
Thank you.
I definitely identified with a lot of that, so I could see how you could do that.
Have any of you have found other ways to incorporate how to share with in other areas? And the second question is, have any of you been asked to do any type of gathering yet?
Are you talking outside of Stonecroft Ministries, Linda,
or a gathering within Stonecroft Ministries?
I've done a Christmas gathering,
uh-huh.
And that was very successful.
And did you do a condensed version of your talk?
You know,
did
it's been
like
enough
a 10
years.
Minute?
It's been enough years ago. I don't recall. I know it was a lot shorter than my original presentation.
Okay. Okay.
This is Frank Kemp from Minnesota, and I've actually been speaking with mostly a guest night. Sometimes I do a special feature, and it's been probably about 30 years I've been doing it off and on. And I find that the longer I have been speaking, the shorter my talk gets. But it does contain salvation message. That's the big important point. One of the things I wanted to ask is we winter in Florida, and I'm wondering if there's some way I could maybe do a little of speaking in Florida as well.
Well, if you will get... get my email address, my email address is L for Linda.
I'm sorry, do that again, please.
L for Linda.
Okay.
B and boy, M for more, LBM, Gator, like Florida Gator. I am a diehard Gator fan. So it's LBMGATOR@AOL.com. And just email me, and I will look into... what part do y'all winter in, South Florida?
Yeah, we don't spend the whole winter. We're down there for about 3 months.
Okay.
Part of the thing is a little bit of a problem because I've been called a number of times for guest nights, which usually happens in the winter up here, and I'm normally gone.
Okay. Well,
so that was LBM, B as in?
L as in Linda, B as in boy, M for more.
Okay.
And if any of y'all have any questions that you think of after, if you'd like to email me, I'll be glad to answer your emails.
Okay, good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, Linda, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I had not thought in terms of doing the three specifically different testimonies. Great idea. I go through, I have my talk highlighted with all the parts that I can drop if according to however much time I have left. So I don't have to, you know, just in my mind to be thinking, okay, where can I cut, where can I cut? So in case I'm shortchanged on time, I just know I can skip all the highlighted parts. So that's kind of been a help to me.
And one of the things I found, if you do three separate talks like I do, have them all in the same notebook. All three in the same notebook. That way, if the time starts getting short, you're not thinking, okay, you know, they're all three there. You can relax. So, and most people just do a condensed version of their original talk. It's just, for some reason, I just felt so compelled to do this one, and then after I finally listened, I've been seeing how something called the recipe for life, and it's very similar to giving out a recipe, and that it would just be perfect for gatherings, and it was perfect for the assisted living place where, you know, they don't need a long, drawn-out thing. They just needed something short and sweet and simple.
And this is Vera, and I love what you've done. I also love the way you lift up the name of Jesus. Sometimes speakers will talk about God. You know, they'll mention God in their talk. But then for those that are allergic to spiritual truths, which God are we talking about, you know? And so it's so wonderful that you're clear about Jesus.
Thank you.
Yeah. I like all your comments. This is Lynn from Illinois. And I really think you're right about having all three printed up. I don't have that. I do have a 3 to 5 minutes that I've got printed up, but I don't carry it with me. But I think it's a great idea, just so you're really ready. But I had an impromptu gathering happen at a friend's house. There was a number of family members and friends gathered there, and they said, oh, share your talk. So I said, oh, okay. And we were just sitting around having coffee, and I did. And it was really a God moment. You know, it was a kind of a blessing. Why do you think that a gathering has to have a shorter talk?
I think that it should be shorter simply because a gathering is more unstructured. It's supposed to be more light. But again, I think you need to kind of be very sensitive to the Holy Spirit because He may want you to do a longer presentation. Ever since last spring, I have wanted next spring to do an Easter egg hunt with young mothers and their little girls. And if you're doing it in a park, probably 10 minutes is about as long as the rest of your gathering, your team, can, you know, keep the little girls busy. However, if you're going to a gathering and you really feel you should do your longer version, absolutely do it. I just feel that there's some times when the shorter version might be more appropriate.
Well, I'm an RST, so I'm thinking more of all these speakers and other ways to use them. And I hate to approach them and say, here's this idea for having gatherings, but you're going to have to change your talk. Sure, they all have these great talks. I just thought, I guess I'm just too practical or something.
Well, we are hoping that speakers do have a shorter version of their talk. But again, you know, we have some outstanding speakers that have such compelling stories that maybe converting it to a 10-minute talk is not appropriate. There are times when I think at a gathering a shorter version may be appropriate.
Now, I can understand what you're saying.
This is Jennifer from Pennsylvania, and it's interesting, but I was speaking out in Philadelphia at one point in time, and one of the hosts actually invited a bunch of young ladies from her church and had me speak to them the night before, and that worked out really well. I probably did more in the impromptu sharing of my story, but it was a really nice opportunity and just a neat time, you know, that the Lord allowed me to have.
And I think that hostesses that do that, that give you an extra venue, it just is icing on the cake. You know, it was wonderful to go to that assisted living place while I was speaking in all those places, and I just appreciated her making the arrangements, and because they're all so busy, you know, everybody in outreach is busy, and yet she took the time out to do this extra venue. It just meant a lot to me.
This is Deb from Philadelphia, and I'm just wondering if these notes are available.
I'm sorry, what?
If your notes are available, Linda.
Yes, we can make them available on the website.
Okay.
Or you can email me, and I'll send you a copy of everything I just said.
That's better. Thank you. Thank you.
This is Sharon in Louisville, Kentucky. God, I'm kind of in the Bible Belt where there's lots and lots of Bible studies in the home. And so God is beginning to open up some opportunities as people learn that I'm a speaker, just to come in and share at one of their Bible studies. And I had a great time last week with several young women, and the thing I wasn't prepared for, if I did it again, at the end is having a question and answer. They wanted to know questions about how I could share such a bold, touching story without crying or just saying, you know, people just don't talk about having an alcoholic father. They sweep this under the rug. So it was a beautiful time where it drew these women out. And so I hope I get more opportunities like that. It had nothing to do with Stonecroft, but because of Stonecroft, I was prepared to do that.
You know, once you're prepared, it seems like more doors open up. And that's the thing I noticed with when we started encouraging our ladies. And the only reason we came up with this was because this one speaker had this issue happen at this luncheon, and she just didn't know what to do. And it just, all of a sudden I thought, okay, we need to have three different time limits on our talks. And we didn't realize how God was going to expand it for us to be able to put it in printed form and put it in booklets. And there's so much more he wants to do with this. We're just scratching the surface.
I think especially when we put together our 3 to 5 minute talk, it is amazing doors that are open for us to share that talk. It's very exciting.
It is.
This is Marvetta in Midlothian, Virginia. My question is, will the clubs be able to actually just ask us to do a shorter testimony? Or I hate to get into that realm of thinking, oh my goodness, they're going to start maybe trying to just do more of the secular end and not have the full inspirational message. Or is this truthfully just if they are running short?
It's only if they're running short. The gospel needs to be the main thing.
Okay, thanks.
That was the whole point behind that, because it's when you're just having to think off the top of your head what you can cut and stuff, 9 times out of 10, it's the gospel that gets shortchanged. So by being prepared ahead of time of what you can cut from your own story or have a shorter version of your own story ready to go, that way the integrity of the gospel isn't compromised at all. That's the whole purpose behind this.
Well, I was kind of meaning I didn't want to start thinking that the clubs could start asking, when we come, would you prepare just to do the 10-minute one? You know, I just...
Oh, no.
Oh, we're keeping this from the clubs. This is just for speakers.
Okay. Right. Okay, good. Thank you. Don't want that to get out.
I did have a one-hour group at one time in Gainesville that met at the lunch hour downtown. And so when our speakers came, we did have to tell them, you cannot go over your 25 minutes, because we did everything in an hour.
Yeah.
Because these were all working women. Matter of fact, we started 5 minutes after 12 and ended 5 minutes before 1. And we didn't have a special feature, but we would give away gifts and have you know, a lunch and do some fun things and then get the speaker on, because if those ladies were late going back to work, we wouldn't have them the next month. And it was
right.
pretty exciting to see God use an hour meeting. We had it for about 7 years until the place that we were meeting couldn't was closing up, and so we had to disband. But it was really neat to see that.
A quick question, if I can jump in here finally. My name is Holly Berry from Minneapolis. I'm wondering, and maybe a couple of thoughts that I had, I'll make it quick. I was wondering with regard to the 3 to 5 minute talk, in my case, I'm a musician as well, and actually I did receive an invitation to speak recently up in this area, up in the upper Midwest, and they had asked if I would only do, I think it was like 15 minutes, no more than 20 minutes. So I had to incorporate quickly the music and the talk. And then I was at a nursing home probably about 3-4 years ago and was asked to only speak about 15 minutes. And yes, it was kind of a challenge for me, and I did go maybe a minute or two over on the most recent one. But then more women wanted to hear more, and plus they wanted me to incorporate the music. But at the nursing home, they wanted me just to stay. And then the one in here recently, they also, a woman invited me to go speak to some youth. And we thought it would be short. As it turned out, the Holy Spirit just had his way. And out of that, out of 26 kids, I believe 12 children were saved. These were teenagers, about 13, middle school. So I guess it's just, you know, what I've learned, though, you know, even though we put the time, you have to, you know, I'm very sensitive to when I'm asked. I try to be. Some of you may, who know me out there, know that sometimes I do go over a little bit, but I try to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit to what you requested, but also trying to be leading to what the Holy Spirit would want to do, especially if there's just someone out there who, you know, needs to get in. But doing a 3 to 5 minute, I guess my one and only question would be, how do you incorporate that if you're asked to do, like, music, or maybe someone does puppetry, or someone has a skit or something like that?
I think that the 3 to 5 minute is only if the meeting's supposed to be over and they have not had the gospel presentation yet. And
okay.
So that would be the 3 to 5 minutes to get that part, that presentation out. So they probably already had you do some sort of music or something prior to introducing you. But I went to a country fair one time that went way over. And this was before we understood all of this. And they weren't introducing me till the time the meeting was supposed to end. And back then I was young and didn't know what I was doing, and I could tell those ladies were tired and ready to go, and if I wish I'd have had this. So this is when the meeting is supposed to be over, but you want to get the gospel presentation out, because there may be somebody there that's never heard it. Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay.
So you're saying that they should have, like, the music or whatever part that you may bring in, the side part, all in the front of the talk.
Yes.
The 3 to 5 minutes
is
specifically and only for the talk itself.
Right. Uh-huh.
Okay. That answers it well. Thank you.
Linda, I think it's so brilliant that you have brought up this idea that we be prepared. It would be very rare that we would have to do a 3 to 5 minute at a group.
Very rare.
But if it happens, at least we're prepared.
Mm-hmm.
You've really inspired me to do, I have my 3 to 5 minute, of course, but to do the three separate things in a binder and have it, so you're prepared for every situation. That's really inspired me.
The other thing that I have learned from all of this is God doesn't want me just to be a speaker for Stonecroft Ministries.
Yes.
He wants me to be a witness wherever I am.
Amen.
And I've got to be more cognizant of that. I've got to look that maybe he is putting someone in my pathway that's not just annoying, that needs to hear the gospel, and get out of that elite speaker mode and into a person who God can use to share wherever.
I have a comment. Mine is Ray from Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and I like the idea of the three prepared talks and for using it outside the outreach luncheons or brunches or whatever. But who is training the chairs to not let the meetings run over?
Well, the representatives and the SRAs are supposed to constantly remind the teams why we're here and not let them get caught up in a superlative, you know, other things. And I think the ones that's so easy to get caught up in are the fall fundraisers. But we want to use those fundraisers not as only as a tool to get needed monies for Stonecroft, but a tool to bring in women who love vendor fairs or whatever. But then they've got to hear the gospel. So it's very important that we train our teens to remember that that's the main thing. And to delete something that they can delete if they see their time is getting shortened. Be bold enough to stand up if a special feature is going over, and make sure that they keep command of the podium in a very loving and kind way, but command the podium. And that's the job of the SRAs and the reps, and hopefully they're getting that across.
I understand. Well, when as a speaker, I've always, and from the beginning, I've been involved with Stonecroft for quite a while. I felt and have been told that the speaker is the reason that we have the meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so when we have studied and we've prayed and we feel anointed, it's not cheating me, but it's cheating what God wants to do for those people. But I love the idea of the shortening the talk just in case and being used outside of Stonecroft. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. So thank you.
Sometimes
Linda?
Meetings are running long. I just, as a speaker, I can, of course, sense the timing of the meeting, and I'll just lean over and say to the chair, so I guess you want me to shorten my speech. I see you're running a little bit long, and usually their reaction is, oh, no, and they start speeding up the meeting. So I just innocently ask the question, and magic happens.
That's a good point.
Linda?
Uh-huh.
Hey, this is Teresa Bourgeois,
hey,
outside
sweetie.
New Orleans. Hey, I just wanted to say, just mention one thing. Sometimes when those things, when the being all the different positions in the local group, sometimes it's not the intention for the time to run short. Sometimes the food doesn't get put out at the
mm-hmm.
right time. And
mm-hmm.
so sometimes, a lot of times when we have a shortened time, it's not really the intention of the group. And that wasn't what the planning team was planning, that sometimes no fault of their own, things happen, like, you know, like, for instance, the food not coming out in time, the restaurant not being ready, things like that that would shorten the time.
You bring up a really good point. I was an area rep of a group that tried to do everything right one time, and everything went wrong. And if I hadn't known how hard they worked, and I was just a speaker walking in off the street out of town, why don't this group have their act together? And it taught me I'm always a guest of the club, and I don't say anything. I just try to encourage them when I'm there because they may have really tried to do everything right, and it all turned out wrong. And so I just want to be an encouragement because I know that they already are depressed because of what happened. One time there was this lady who did this Symbols of Christmas. She was from the religious page of the local newspaper and told every horrible thing she could tell about how the Jews killed Jesus and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord. And when we got back to the from the front door. We got back to the head table. That's back when we had head tables. The chair burst out into tears, and I'm sitting there patting her on the back going, "It's okay, it's okay." But she was so embarrassed, and she hated what had happened. And so always think of yourself as I'm a guest of the club, and they may need me here not only to be a speaker but to encourage them.
Linda, this is Judy Scharfenberg from California, and I'm just a quick question. Would it be appropriate if we were to do a 3 to 5 minute or even the 10 minute, if we could say at the end something like, "Now, I've told you a little bit about my story, and I'll be here for as long as you need if there's anyone who wants to hear more."
Well, I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
If after the people, you know, you can dismiss them, but the people can say, because you don't want the people there thinking, "Oh, if I get up," you can say, "You can stay after we've, you know, greeted everybody, and I'll be glad to share more with you." But give them an opportunity to get up and leave the room if they have an appointment or something.
Right, right.
Linda, thank you so much. We're just about at the top of the hour, and as Stonecroft people, we want to stop on time. But Linda, thank you so much for everything you shared with us. It was indeed very, very helpful. This call is being recorded, and so if you have any RSTs or speakers, I mean, that you know would enjoy this call or benefit from it, they can get to it on our website. And Linda's notes will also be available at the website. And then be sure and mark on your calendar our next call, which will be on October 10th. That's Thursday again. We're going to do the evening call time, the same time as this call. This call is going to be a panel with five of our different SFCs, and we're going to be discussing everything from how to be a guest in someone's home to how to maintain or protect your reputation on the web, just every possible question that comes up as speakers. And so you'll have be hearing from five different SFCs and have lots of questions to ask them. I want to thank all of you for joining us on this call. We so appreciate it. And Linda, I wonder if you would just like to close this call in prayer.
Thank you. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for every lady on this call. Father, we ask you to give us ears to hear and hearts to understand what you are saying to each of us in this ministry. Father, we're asking you to give us opportunities to share. Father, we're asking you to open us up and help us to see people through your eyes of compassion. Father, bless each speaker. Father, anoint her and use her mightily in your kingdom. Only in heaven will we know the ripple effect of all the ladies who have been here tonight and what they have done for your ministry. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you, because without you, we are nothing. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.